Spotlight. Good evening, listeners, and welcome to today's Spotlight. I am Lalima Aneja Dang, and today we shall be discussing about the key provisions of the Income Tax Act 2025. And to discuss this, we have with us Sharad Kohli, economic analyst. Mr. Kohli, welcome to Akashwani.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Kohli, the Prime Minister has time again talked about ease of living, and we've already done away with about 1,400 obsolete laws which were coming, you know, as a colonial hangover. He's often talked about doing away with colonial symbols as well. Now, is this a step in that direction, the fact that we have this Income Tax 2025 Act?
Well, I think the older Income Tax Act was made in 1961, well, earlier in 1922. Well, there were some traces of, I would say, the colonial era, but then the act was done in 1961. It was about 65 years old, and the rules were made at that time in 1962, I remember. And of course, the rules for this law have been made in 2026. It's called the Income Tax Act 2025 and Income Tax Rules 2026. I think the main idea, Lalima, behind bringing this new law is because that was becoming very complicated. Every year with the finance bill, there are so many small changes made, small and sometimes large changes as well. So there were sections, there were subsections, there were provisos, there were so many things, attachments, and then changes here and there. So to read that particular act had become a very complicated process. For a common taxpayer, it was literally impossible to understand. Even the practitioners, they used to tell me that we have to read a particular provision twice or thrice to comprehend as to what exactly is the provision trying to say. So from 700 to 800, the original act in 1961 was for about 298 sections. But then because of the frequent changes made every year, in fact, even when we talk now, some of the other change must have been considered, you know, because this is an evolutionary process. Tax right. laws are evolutionary. They are dependent on what the economy, the taxpayers need at that particular point of time. Mm-hmm. So from 298 sections, they had almost accumulated to between 700 and 800 sections. So, which made it very complicated. And then now this new law is hardly 536 sections.
Yes.
So it's been made concise. More importantly, it's been made simpler. When you try reading it, you will find that a common man, a common taxpayer, is able to understand the provisions a lot better than what was the case earlier. So this makes it more concise. It's a leaner Income Tax Act, I would say. And it's friendlier as far as the taxpayers are concerned. But what's important, Lalima, to understand is that the basic structure of tax, it's the same. So it's like person is the same, but he now comes in a new attire. So basic structure of the law remains the same. Obviously, certain minor changes have been done, but you know, things like old regime and the new regime, which the taxpayers were allowed to pick up old regime, they still very much remain. All the deductions which were there in the old regime, they remain. Of course, a very important change which people must note here is that age-old sections, which were literally on your tips for such a long time. I remember some of the provisions were known by their sections, ATC. Well, ATC belonged to Chapter 6A of the old Act. Mm-hmm. Now, that has now been made 123. So, under the new Act, you will find that these sections may have changed. But per se, there has been no change in the structure. Of course, some minor changes have been made. Another feature of this new Act, Lalima, which I would like to point out here, is that there were a lot of obsolete provisions in the old law. You know, I can give an example. Like, there was something called children's allowance. You know, when your children go to school, so up to two children, you were allowed as a tax deduction under the old regime to deduct 100 rupees per month. Now, obviously, that must have been very, very old. So for children, it has been revised to 3,000. Now, another change, for example, which was a provision that was obsolete, is that employer was allowed to give 5,000 rupees of gift to an employee in a year where there was no tax. Now that has been revised 15,000. So it was felt that probably 5,000 is an outdated amount. And it was probably brought in a number of years ago. And ever after that, things have changed. So this is a new law. This is a fresh looking law. This is a leaner law. This is a very simple to read law, Lalima.
Let's listen to the Finance Minister, Ms. Nirmala Sitharaman, on some of the features of the Income Tax Act 2025.
New Income Tax Act 2025 will prove to be helpful in this regard because this comes to effect from 1st April 2026. The Act simplifies languages, reduces forms, and is designed so that the average taxpayer can understand their obligations and without professional help, they can themselves do it. So the monetary threshold for filing appeals have also seen some enhancement. So the monetary limit for filing appeal to the ITAT, High Court and the Supreme Court have all been increased. Income Tax Appellate Tribunal earlier had monetary limit of 50 lakh. The present monetary limit is 60 lakh. High Court, earlier it was 1 crore and now High Court has 2 crores. So we've enhanced the limit. Supreme Court had earlier 2 crores and now it's 5 crores. Sir, expansion of updated return framework will also help the assessees. Time limit for filing updated return increased to 48 months. Updated return via the Finance Bill 2026 has been allowed even after initiation of reassessment proceedings. And then Finance Bill also has said updated return has been allowed for reducing the loss in the updated return which was filed earlier.
Also, when we talk about nomenclature, Sharadji, nomenclature can be really misleading. And earlier we used to say financial year 24-25, but assessment year 25-26. Has that also changed? I believe now it's tax year 25-26. Is that how it's going to be?
Yes, the tax practitioners, which included chartered accountants and tax advocates, they were quite used to this. Like, for example, we started year 26-27 from today. From today itself, we start calling it assessment year 27-20 law. That has now been changed to tax year. So there's only going to be 1 year, which will be tax year. There'll be no previous year assessment year leading to confusion. It was being observed. A lot of people, while quoting in their returns or while quoting in their replies to the tax department, they used to erroneously write assessment year instead of previous year and vice versa. Instead of previous year, they used to write assessment. Instead of assessment, they used to write previous, because a common taxpayer, you know, did not have proper understanding of what these years mean. So it has now been made one single nomenclature. Mm-hmm. It will now be called as tax year for all practical purposes. So nobody needs to be confused now. Either there is a tax year or there is no year. So you simply make it simple.
And the fact that now 15H and 15G forms are now merged as one form, that also simplifies for the common man, Sharadji?
Yes, these forms were meant for people whose incomes are below taxable. However, for example, a bank, which is a tax-deducting entity. So they were, through these forms, they were informed that I'm below taxable, so my tax need not be deducted. So I think those forms were different for senior citizens. There was another set of forms which was for a normal taxpayer who was not taxable. So I think the forms have been merged. This is an attempt, Lalima, basically to reduce the number of forms, because to remember which form is applicable for what purpose was also a bit of a cumbersome task for a taxpayer. The number of forms have phenomenally gone down. I think a form filing process, besides the Income Tax Act already becoming digital for a number of years now, there is faceless assessment, there is digital process, the refunds have become quicker,
yes.
Compliance has become quicker. Another change which I would like to highlight, this is for the Gen Z particularly, or the younger lot, you know, a lot of them were interested in these cryptocurrencies or crypto assets.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, a separate category or a nomenclature has been given to this, because we don't call it cryptocurrency in India anyway, because it's not recognized yet.
Yes.
So they will all be called as virtual digital assets, VDAs as they are called. Uh-huh. So that's the name given. Another change, which I think some of the people who work for their employers who've got food allowance or food coupons been given.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were being given rupees 50 per meal earlier under the old system, which has now been 200 for that matter.
Uh-huh.
So then, you know, there was another allowance, I remember, a very popular one for the working population, which was called the house rent allowance, HRA.
Yes. Yes.
And I remember,
yes,
there is to be a section called section 1013A for that. So there were certain number of cities, only the metros, which, yes, means Kolkata, Mumbai, Delhi. So only in these cities, you were allowed to claim 50% as a condition in 1013A. Now, I think with the cities growing and the cities, more cities becoming metros, Bengaluru has been added, Hyderabad has been added, Pune has been added, Ahmedabad has been added. Although I would like to state here that this HRA benefit by claiming through a rent receipt,
mm-hmm,
is only applicable under old regime. In the new regime, there is no such benefit of HRA, where the idea of new regime, if the taxpayers and the listeners remember, that it was to reduce the headache cost and the complications cost because of exemptions and deductions. In the new regime, you are allowed to choose. You can choose either new or old, depending upon how your tax structure is, depending upon whether you're saving tax by way of investments, depending if your structure is such where things like housing loan, things like paying rent, things like investments are still relevant, you can choose the old regime. Otherwise, my experience says, Lalima, that under the new system and the way new regime has been made attractive over the last year, with 12 lakh rupees of tax not being falling under tax because of the Section 87A rebate, quarter of the taxpayers would be moving into the new regime. But still, for the people who still choose old regime, what I just mentioned about HRA is going to be relevant. Likewise, there are some more changes, like motor vehicle perquisite which was being given. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a limit of 1,800 per month, which is now being made for 5,000, without chauffeur has been made to 3,000. So these small changes, but I would like to clarify here that the changes here, they were being made via the finance bill anyway. Mm-hmm. Now with the new tax rules and the new tax act coming, they are just coming along with it. Otherwise, to understand what this new tax law is all about, so we should keep in mind that the changes in tax laws is a constant process. You know, change is a constant because, as I said, changes in the tax laws are made according to the requirements of the economy, according to the situation prevalent at that time. Hmm. So this is not the end of it. We will still see improvisations happening in the years to come. And the next finance bill, which will be there on 1st of February 2027, might see more improvements being made. But tax laws are evolving. And I think they are evolving to the benefit of the exchequer and to the benefit of the taxpayers as well, Lalima.
Yes, one can see the difference because if something is, some allowance was made about 60 years ago, obviously, considering the inflation, 100 rupees of, 60 years ago is nothing today. It means nothing.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So, Sharaji, you think that this new Income Tax Act 2025, is it in line with the new tax regime? Because as one understands, gradually more and more people will get into the new tax regime. Is it in tune with that?
Because new tax regime's aim is to make the tax process or its calculation simpler. It makes for a taxpayer because if you have too many deductions and exemptions, obviously it makes your tax computation more complicated. So on one side, new regime makes your computation simple. On the other side, the new tax law makes understanding the tax law very simple. And by the way, we were mentioning about 15G, 15H. You were saying that it's been merged into a single form and that form is going to be called as Form 121. I think it's important to be mentioned and a very important form, I think, Lalima, which taxpayers should know, especially the newer ones, the younger ones who are stepping into the world of taxation, that the PAN application, which was called as 49A earlier, henceforth, starting from today, would be called as Form 93. And I would not miss out mentioning that one needs to keep in mind that all the old cases which you have, suppose there's a litigation or you need to submit a reply to the department for the year which ended on 31st of March 2026, you will have to continue to use the sections in the law, which is the older one. But henceforth, that is starting from today and onwards, you will have to now use for the same provisions, you will have to now use the new sections and make applications under the new sections. So we will see the impact of this new law basically hitting the ground by the time this financial year ends, because that's when people will be ready to file the return for the first full year completion under the new law.
Right. So this is a transition period when we are moving towards a Vikasit Bharat towards 2047. And so I think the CA or the tax lawyers will have to remember both the old and the new ones simultaneously.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a bit of a job for them, bit of a task for them, because as I said, they were quite used to using those sections for so many years now.
Sharaji, is this new act also in tune with a digitized India? Because today, so many payments are done digitally. We have some new rules for accessing PAN card also. It's not just the Aadhaar card requirement, but something else as well. Also, apart from this, there is a fast track payment involved where some changes have been made. Could you throw some light on that as well, please?
Because the process of PAN application, relatively less loaded with supporting documents earlier. So it was being noticed, Lalima, that a lot of people, they used to get a PAN and they were not bothered about the PAN. I mean, there was a bit of a lack of responsibility in having and bearing a PAN. I think the PAN process has now been made more KYC based. You might have to submit more documents for the PAN. So to prevent unauthorized processing of the PAN, to prevent unauthorized usage of the PAN, and of course, government will be tracking down your transactions more closely now because of the digital process which has been introduced in tax system. I think it is people who were thinking of ways and means to evade tax. I think this life is going to get difficult for them because you will be in an airtight environment where you'll find very hard to get away with transactions which are not brought on record. So digital combined with the new act, I think is going to make the whole process of compliance and the process of a taxpayer being very honest, it's going to make things more airtight and people will have to be careful from here on. So anybody who's getting ideas of running away with taxes or not paying taxes for that matter needs to be probably thinking twice.
Yes, considering the fact that it's a different India now, a more progressive, moving towards a Vikasit Bharat 2047. Thank you very much, Sharaji, for updating us with the various features of this act. I'm sure people will benefit from it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Well, listeners, you may listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. Spotlight.